few announcements to begin with. There are two devotional books back on the table for anyone who wants them. They're devotional books for 2025 by Guideposts. What happened this year is I order for Kathy and I, and they sent us a bunch. Don't know why. So those are the spares back there. Seems like every year over the last few years, they send me one more, and then one more, and then one more. But so if you'd like to take one, feel free to take one. I'd like to thank Brian for his help with the piano this week. Brian and I, we have done so many projects together. I couldn't even count them all. Back when we had trustees, we were side by side working on projects. I think we're the resident repair crew or something like that. So I want to thank him. We'll get the piano parts out this week, Lord willing, and then move the other piano into its place so we're ready for the Advent season, which is coming up, and our celebration, which I'll mention in a minute. Thanksgiving coming up this week. So we celebrate Thanksgiving in the United States. I don't know if anybody else does, but it's pretty much a holiday based on the founding of this country. Well, what we do, is it a good thing? Is it a God thing? So this week I went back and looked at the Jewish holidays and discovered that the Jewish holidays celebrated national events and spiritual events together. And along with their holidays were feasting, as well as a few other things. So you can look forward to Thanksgiving. We're in good company with the people of God, Israel, in celebrating our nation, our families, and our God. And I encourage you to enjoy those days. But for those who are preparing for the holidays, I just wanted to let you know you're getting off easy. Because the Jewish holiday of Purim, which is celebrated in February and March, which is the celebration from the book of Esther when the Jewish people were delivered from being annihilated, their holiday was a 3-day feast. So ladies, when you're preparing for 1-day feast, feel no problem. This is easy. The harvest festival, also called the Festival of Weeks, or the Festival of Pentecost, or the Festival of First Fruits, which is celebrated toward the beginning of summer, spring, probably, technically, that also was a three-day feast and celebration. The Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, celebrated in the autumn, or for the Jewish people, the beginning of their new year, actually, in September-ish, that also was a 3-day feast. The Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, was their most joyful holiday. It didn't say it was a 3-day feast, though. On Thanksgiving, for all of you who are interested, the Bears and the Lions are playing at 1:30. The Giants and the Cowboys are playing at 4:30. Other announcements that are probably more relevant are printed in your bulletin. Tuesday, helping out at the Salvation Army on November 26th. On Wednesday at 1 p.m., if you're able to stop by, we're going to put up some church decorations. Barb and Gail, I think, right? You two, right? Have already started putting up some new decorations that I think you'll enjoy. Tuesday evening, I will be transporting some goodies over to YFC for their Thanksgiving celebration. So if you are making something, just drop it off at the church, let me know, and I'll transport it over there and I'll help them do any preparations. I'm probably better on cleanup than I am on cooking, but I can do whatever I can there. And if you're interested, if the Lord speaking to you about coming to YFC and helping out, I talked to Linda, and she says they will be there at 4 o'clock. Also an announcement, our smorgasbord, our annual Scandinavian smorgasbord, is planned for December 16th. Kristen Carlsgaard, who many of you know, and John Redshaw will be presenting a program. I'm sure it will include music. No lutefisk at our Scandinavian smorgasbord. At least there hasn't been any up till now. Reservations are needed for that because we need to know the numbers. So there will be a sign-up sheet, way to make your reservation. Next Sunday, Advent begins. Advent is the preparation for celebrating what the United States calls Christmas, what I refer to as the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, and we'll begin to get our hearts ready for that. And I plan to be helping us prepare by looking at the prophecies that predicted the coming of the Messiah that Israel completely missed. And so I think it'd be good for us to review those as well. Sunday, December 15th, Kathy and I will be gone to a family, my side of the family, a Christmas event. And so Roger has been able to get Dan Treisman to be preaching. And all these references I'm making to the Jewish feasts and any references I might be making, you can always check with him to make sure, because he knows way more than I do. And then just to mention, the envelopes in the pew are for the Covenant World Relief and Development offering that we're taking today, or you can use the envelopes at any time you wish to provide an offering, and we'll be seeing a video about Covenant World Relief. A lot of announcements. Anything I missed? Yeah, so if you just can't stand going through this season without lutefisk, check the...
Trinity is on the 7th, and then Gethsemane is, I think, before that.
Ah, you must be a lutefisk lover. All right, if you would stand with me, and let's share the call to worship. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him. For the Lord is good. His faithfulness continues. And open your hymnals to 654, an appropriate hymn for this time of the year. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Thank you.
Father, we meet here together in the name of your Son, Jesus, to honor you, to worship you, to glorify you. You have been so good to us. We thank you that you have touched our lives, redeemed us, and welcomed us into your family. We are thankful and happy and pleased to be your children and look forward to the day when we will see you face to face. We give you praise and glory and thanksgiving today and this week, even in all of our labors and even in each day that you give to us. Through your Son, who has redeemed us because of his love for you and his love for us, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Today, our first reading will be Psalm 93, and that is on page 453 in your pew Bible. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. And the second reading is John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37, and that is on page 827 in your pew Bible. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. This is the word of God.
Every day our headlines are filled with accounts of a hurting and broken world. We see image after image and hear countless stories of those living through the impact of disasters and those displaced by war and violence. Each headline reminds us of the urgent call to extend our compassion, just as Jesus taught us in Matthew 25. To reach out to the least of these. It can be overwhelming to think of the many areas help is needed. How can we best meet the needs of our hurting world?
For nearly 80 years, Covenant World Relief and Development has been the Covenant Church's means for partnering in the strengthening of communities and responding to disasters around the world. By developing a network of global partnerships, CWRD connects us to Christ-centered, transformative, and trustworthy work around the world. Joining with more than 30 global partners, we are invited to participate in a variety of projects, each project designed and implemented by the local partner.
We work in more than 20 countries around the world. Our partners in Nepal are improving health and sanitation, reducing the spread of waterborne illnesses, bringing lasting transformation to villages without access to clean water and healthcare. Consider the grandfather who saw the work in another village and brought it to his own for the transformation of his family and their neighbors. You can imagine the pride he feels and the legacy that will be felt for generations to come. Hundreds, thousands of lives will be impacted through his curiosity and willingness to bring something new to his community. In addition to projects like this in Nepal, our partners have been pivotal in delivering emergency relief and rebuilding efforts after disasters, providing critical support and resources to affected families. Their dedication is fostering healthier, more resilient communities around the world.
Through our partners, CWRD remains dedicated to reducing human suffering and fostering human flourishing. Every individual and church has the power to make a difference, both near and far. We believe in the power of collective action. People of all ages working together to bring about meaningful and sustainable change in the world. You can be a part of what God is doing through prayer, advocacy, and giving, using the Can for Change, a special offering, a personal or a planned gift. You can join us in making a difference in the lives of many.
Together, we can build a future filled with hope and possibility for everyone. Will you join us?
Brief statement, Covenant World Relief, what I know, is Covenant World and Relief, which is now Covenant World Relief and Development, not only helps in natural crises, but it helps in human crises as well. As you noticed here, it combines many collaboration with many other Christian groups to deliver aid. Ask the ushers to come forward at this time. Just a reminder, we believe that the Lord speaks to his people about giving, and so give joyfully because of what he has mentioned to you to give. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, once again, we are just so grateful, so thankful for your goodness to us. We celebrate this week of Thanksgiving. Receive our gifts out of hearts of joy for you and for all that you have done. We ask that you'd use these gifts to further your kingdom, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's kind of funny for me to say that because I don't like to give directives. Thank you, Roger, for blessing us today. And Shirley for blessing us many Sundays.
I wasn't sure if everybody knew that. It's Jesus is all the world to me.
Mm-hmm. All right, amen. Jesus is all the world to me. Good testimony. Let's pray together. Our God, our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, once again we come to you to thank you for each other. This is a week of thankfulness. We thank you for giving us our brothers and sisters in this small sheepfold that you have settled so many years ago and that you continue to support so that your name can be glorified, so that we can help our communities not only tangibly but spiritually. Build us up during these days and help us to see your vision for us as a people into the years ahead. And so we thank you for each other, brothers and sisters. We also thank you, our Father God, for our brothers and sisters in other sheepfolds throughout the Iron Range, and ask that you would build them up with us, so that one day soon we together might share the glory of Jesus in unity to broadcast to the Iron Range that we are one, under the name of Jehovah and the name of Jesus, that many could come to know you, and that many who have drifted away can come back to you. Do your work in these days to prepare for that time, and again, show us our part in that mission. Once again, Father, I want to pray for Bernie, Jennifer, and Elizabeth as they continue to recover from the loss of our dear friend Wayne, and included in that, dear friends of Wayne, Terry, Chris, and Kate, and Zach, and Thea, that you'd continue to support them through these difficult times, this first family holiday week, remembering also, Father, our brother Roger, through this time as well, and his children, his and Judy's children, Mark, John, and Sarah, and their families, again, through this week of probably the first family celebration since their loss. I once again, Father, want to remember Brian and Julie, Aaron, Lucas, Matthew, during this family get-together again for their recovery. Father, I would pray for Steve and Linda during their physical recoveries. We thank you for what you've done in Linda's life to help her bounce back and feel good, and for what you're doing in Steve's life to keep him going and keeping him above some of the impact of what has been happening to his body. We pray for Sid, that you would be with him during this time as well, that you would help him to recover from the loss of Dar. We'd also like to pray for Ed and Brad as they continue to recover from their ailments and illnesses. And Father, forgot his name, so I ask you to be with him as well to help him recover from his recent illnesses as well. Father, we're just so grateful that we can come to you with these requests. We're just so grateful that you care. More than that, we're grateful that you are a God who is here, present with us, and able to hear and able to do the things that we ask. We believe in you, and we honor you, and we give you this week special thanks and celebration for our country, for our leadership, current president, president-elect, and all the people that are working in our nation, in our state, in our locality. Our one prayer is that you'd give them wisdom to follow you so that this country can continue to be blessed under the mighty hand of God Almighty. We dedicate this week to you to give you thanks. Celebrate with us as we celebrate with you. And we thank you for the opportunity through Jesus, your Son, who's made it possible. Amen. If you turn in your hymnals to hymn number 552, a week of thankfulness and joy. Thank you, Shirley. Last week, when you looked in the bulletin and you saw the message and the title of the message, how many noticed that that's not what I preached about? A few of you. Okay. This happens sometimes with pastors. On Saturday, the Lord spoke to me and changed the message, and I had no power to change what was in the bulletin. And so last week was something that the Lord gave to me on Saturday. That does happen occasionally, so don't be concerned, it may happen again. Today, I would like to share, obviously, about Thanksgiving, and the title is Great, G-R-E-A-T, Fullness. We should be greatly full of the blessings of God every day, and I'm sure you are, thanking Him and praising Him, even in the midst of things that are operating not like we want them to, we still can be grateful and praise our God. Heading into Thanksgiving, we are overwhelmed with gratefulness for family because we'll be getting together with family and friends. We're grateful for a country where we can be free, we can sing hymns, we can meet together publicly without fear of being arrested. and killed in some places, martyred for the name of Jesus. We are very blessed. We have homes, most of us. We have food, probably plenty of food this week, right? And I was reminded as I was had a moment to think that the Jewish festival's 3 days long. Some of you ladies and families will have family over, so you may have to be preparing 3 days of feasts for the family as they stay over. So maybe I was got a little ahead of myself to make that comparison. As we head into Thanksgiving, we get all of that thankfulness stuff. And so what I wanted to focus on is being thankful for God and His Son, Jesus. Why should we be thankful? I have a thing going in my life where I separate being thankful for what God has done and being thankful for who He is. Because in my theory, my theology, everything God does comes from who He is. I believe that to be true. I'm a little concerned about theology because this week I got together with the Range Renewal pastors again about two dozen pastors from the area. Interesting to me, a little bit different from one of the other pastors' meetings that I attend. And in this pastor's meeting, two dozen, all guys, not a lady in the bunch. And this week, our topic of discussion was the order of the church service, which we have printed out in our bulletin. My summary of that discussion, they're all struggling with order of service. What should go first? What should come where? Should we include this? Shouldn't we include that? But I discovered from all of these brothers who shared about their struggles with the service that they all have an order of service for their meetings on Sunday morning. There was also a discussion about the length of the pastor's sermon, by the way. And there was discussion about one particular person who sounded like he was famous in this group for preaching very long. And I just mentioned that what we do is we keep it to about an hour. That's what we're shooting for in the service. And then, of course, we got to the discussion of what is the morning service for. And so this morning, I want us to focus on who God is. The first word that comes to mind is that God is holy. What does holy mean? Is it like holy water? Is it like holy cow? Holy, the word holy in the scriptures means unique, different from everything else, separated, one of a kind. There is no other God besides our Father God, His Son Jesus, and His Spirit. They are separated. They are unique. They live forever. Everything else is a product of who God is. Our creation, our very lives, as we read in the Psalms, is a product of God's choice. Us sitting here today is a product of God's choice of who He is. He sought us and he found us. And aren't you glad you responded to his call? Gives you life forever. Gives you peace and hope down here. Gives you brothers and sisters that you can rely upon, get encouragement from, give encouragement to. Leads me to the next. God is supreme. There is no one above God. Everything ends at that throne. Everything will always end at that throne. Which, of course, has always made me a little curious about Satan's rebellion, Lucifer's rebellion. Didn't he get that it ends with God? Didn't he get? And of course, my answer to that is, I think he probably did. His pride just got the best of him and everything after that. But we don't have to worry because everything ends at our God. And then righteousness and justice. God is righteousness. He's not only righteous, but he is righteousness. All righteousness comes from him. He's the source of righteousness. Correctness. It's a lousy word, isn't it? Right. Being always right. And I don't know if you've done this in your prayer life or not, but there's times I come to God and I say, this just isn't right. It isn't what I want. And he reminds me, that's the way you look at it. He's right. I'm right, is what God would say to me. Just wait, and you'll see that I'm right. Justice. God is absolutely just. You've probably struggled with this in reading the Old Testament, especially in all that happened to the Jewish people. Maybe in your lives, I know that when I've talked to people about the Lord, often one of the things they bring up is, God didn't do right by me. I shouldn't have gone through this divorce. I shouldn't have had this medical problem. And it's a challenge for me at that time to remind them that God is just. He is working it out for our good, even if we can't see it. What is justice? Justice is absolute truth implemented by an absolutely righteous judge. And now a reminder from the scriptures. Psalm 97, verses 2 and 6. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And then if we flip back a couple of pages, Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. When you're building a house, you have to lay down a foundation. The scriptures remind us that the foundation of God's throne are righteousness and justice. Yes, God loves the whole world, but the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. That's why people have to accept Jesus. They have to get God's righteousness through Jesus, who bought for us God's righteousness. Because the only way we get to heaven is righteousness. We have to be righteous. and just, because that's the foundation of God's throne. And of course, that leads to truth. Things have to be true. I get amused, and it's just one of my things. Watching all the advertisements during the political campaign, I find amusement in it. Because the amusement I have is looking for truth. And it is an interesting quest in the midst of all that. And I watch commercials on television the same way. I look for truth because I want to contrast that with what is real truth. And I was watching an advertisement this week, and at the end of the advertisement, it says, "This product, when you apply it, lasts forever." And I thought, oh, maybe a good sales pitch, but not true. And I pretty much watch all advertisements that way, just to see, yes, it's a good sales pitch, but is it true? Because if it's true, if it works, I'm interested. Faithfulness. God is faithful. He is reliable, dependable, always trustworthy. And I know you've done the same thing that I have. Come to times where it just feels like he hasn't come through for me. And then once again, he reminds me, Mike, you don't see the whole picture. Hang on. It's coming. I'm trustworthy. I've just got to work some things out. And at that point, I respond by saying, yeah, one of the things you got to work out is me. And I understand this is a project, not just a project to put all the pieces together, but a project to get Mike ready for what you have. I've been growing in the Lord. You've been growing in the Lord. So I know the same thing is true. I'm not there yet. I know God's got a project in me. He's got a project in you. Which leads me to love. Agape love. And as I mentioned before, the love of God is just not understandable, and that's what the Word of God says. It's just not comprehensible. Why does God love us? Why, after the flood of Noah, did God decide to keep the human race going? Or maybe before the flood of Noah, why did God decide to save Noah and his family and keep this thing going? Why not just stop the whole mess? Why, when God told Moses he's just going to kill off the nation of Israel, and Moses pleaded with God and said, don't. These are your people. This is your heritage. And God, in one version, it says God relented. Why has God kept going with me? Times when I have just failed him, the Father picked me up in his hands and just held me like a good dad would, I think, or a good mom would, right? Your kid's going through something, you just go over and give them a hug. Going to be a lot of hugging this week with your families and your friends, isn't there? God is good. Really? Another question I get from people. Look at the world. Do you mean to tell me that God is good? Yes. God is good. The world and us, we've made a mess of things, believe me. But God is good. He's going to pull it through. He's going to pull us through. Why do you want Jesus? Because Jesus is good. Read those four books. Jesus is good. God is giving. He gives us stuff. I don't know if you've stopped to think about that, but he's constantly giving to us, his people. And in fact, he's giving to people who aren't his people. He is, the scriptures tell us, he is kind and good and generous, even to evil and unbelieving man. That's just who God is. And if you haven't noticed, not only is he giving, but he's generous in his giving. A good list of reasons to be thankful this week. From John chapter 1, starting with verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. Our world is filled with loneliness, confusion, frustration. I read this week that there are some people after the election who are leaving the country. They're going to live in another country. Frustration. Our world is filled with sadness, depression, seeking for meaning, seeking for fulfillment, seeking for something to fill this emptiness within them. Our world is filled with unbelievable levels of anger. And so people are trying to fill that vacuum with whatever they can find. I put it under the category of enjoyment. Drugs, alcohol, whatever. Ways to enjoy life, to have a certain period of time where it feels good because of that emptiness, frustration, depression. And our ministry that we saw the video of, Covenant World Relief and Development, trying to reach into countries, including our country, to help people who are affected by drug addiction, drug trafficking, human trafficking, and of course, natural tragedies. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, I'll start reading at verse 9. Speaking of the end times, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Here's the verse. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. we're seeing an increase of wickedness in our nation, probably in the world. I would say yes, in the world. That verse says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Wickedness is what's affecting love. I never saw that before. And another thing about that verse, in the New American Standard, it says the love of many will grow cold. In the New International Version, it says the love of most will grow cold. And when I took a little bit of a study on that, the New International Version is the better version. Most. The love of most will grow cold. We're still that few. We're still those few called out in the midst of a world of whatever you want to call it. We are the light of the world. The light that smiles, the light of joy, the light that gives hugs. If your family is like ours, and if you get together with family and friends on Thanksgiving, there's going to be some in that group that are born again believers, and your heart rejoices. There are others who haven't arrived at that place yet. An opportunity for us to just show the thankfulness we have for the God that has been so good to us. Pause for a minute with me for prayer. There's just no way, Father, that we have the words to express our thankfulness for you and our love for you and your Son, Jesus. And so, just hear our hearts with these two words. Thank you. Amen. Would you turn with me to hymn number 657? And we get to sing thanks to God.
Thanks for joy.
And you stand with me, if you would, and let's sing the blessing to one another with thankful hearts for each other.